I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Happy Tuesday to you. I think, happy Tuesday, Chiefs fans. Yikes, that was something last night. Jacob Albrock-Tier, TJ Cleveland, Max Power. In with us producing, taking your calls if you got them at 869-1240. We will dig in to the Chiefs' loss in Jacksonville last night. They did everything but win the game. We'll have a whole lot on that and your opportunities to chime in either on the hotline, the video comments available to you on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can reach out to us directly on X as well. Thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. We'll have that, of course. And we'll also have Wyatt Thompson joining us, the voice of the K-State Wildcats. Early, we're moving his weekly visits to Tuesdays, so we'll have that for you. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oktoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that will make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oktoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello, I currently have the split screen on. I've got the entire second half replaying on the 85-inch and the final drive replaying on my laptop because I got to figure out how this happened last night.
Well, there's no figuring it out. I mean, there's about a billion reasons. I'm telling you, the Chiefs did everything but win that game. Yep. You can look up and down a box score and see that they should have won the game. You can watch it with your own eyes, as we all did last night, and wonder how they didn't win that game, but they throw a pick six late. They miss several plays on a final drive. Chris Jones has some questions to answer. If you haven't seen his video on the final touchdown run from Trevor Lawrence, Harrison Butker is a problem right now. He has made a critical mistake in every game they've played, including last night with a kick out of bounds after a go-ahead touchdown. Absolutely inexcusable from him. And they let Trevor Lawrence off the hook. Trevor Lawrence fell down on his face about four times, I think, on that final drive. He literally fell down on the go-ahead touchdown. The Chiefs missed breaking up a pass that they might normally make. He had, what, three delay of game penalties? Like, that was one of the weirder, stranger things. And as Rick points out and is absolutely correct, 11 penalties in the game for the Chiefs to, I think, the Jaguars had four. Too many mistakes, 13? Obviously. Obviously too many mistakes.
They had 13 penalties, actually, Rick. That's how bad it got. And, you know, it really was. I mean, they just on that final drive, you think about if you just don't have the, you know, DPI there, you know, that might not have happened. You know, they
or were break up field. The pass that was 2 inches. Yeah. But even that, like, if you don't kick the ball out of bounds,
yeah.
If you don't have holding on the ensuing kickoff the other way, you had three timeout in 45 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, you outgained the Chiefs outgained Jacksonville by 150 yards, basically, and then gave 100 of them back on penalties. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, it's great. Like, as you said, like, that's the only thing that you can point at on a box score or the team stats or anything that didn't go the Chiefs' way is that they gave up 100 yards by way of the penalty.
I mean, they did everything but win the game. Apologies to all the bettors. Like, we had that game nailed. Like, we were all going to make a whole bunch of money last night, including if you were just betting the Chiefs. They should have won that game by two scores. Yep. And it just unraveled. So I definitely want to spend time overreacting to the game last night. And then I think we've got to spend some time perhaps underreacting too. But for now, we can overreact because that was ridiculous. Like, they were clearly the better team. It's especially frustrating because we are seeing the offense awaken. Like, the offense did whatever it wanted to for a lot of that game last night. And to see them just kind of fumble it away is tough because now you've got the Lions coming up. And bless, like, I just can't believe the amount of mistakes. And look, some of it was like, oh, okay, that's fluky. Like, Lawrence falling down and being able to get up, you're like, all right, fine. But a pick six, a kick out of bounds, the penalties, that's just like, what are we doing here? Like, that's insane.
One of the biggest takeaways I think we can take away from last night is that the Chiefs offense is not good at tackling after the pick six.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That was bad.
I thought Thornton was going to punch it out at the goal line, and he just kind of threw his hands at him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Thornton's built about like me. Yeah. So, you know, taking down.
Not a lot of great tacklers there.
Yeah. It was something like it took everything they had to lose that game last night. I mean, they had to lay it all out there to come up with that loss.
I mean, I can't wait to talk to Wyatt because I feel like I just watched the K-State game again. Because
I think it was more egregious even than the K-State game because I'll give a little credit to the opposition.
Yeah,
the Chiefs were clearly a better team than Jacksonville last night. I love reading everything that's like, oh, Jacksonville's for real. They're Jacksonville's going to have like six losses before this season's over. Like, they didn't look that good.
That was their first, like, real win.
No, they beat the 49ers, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, they're I don't want to take – I shouldn't say that and take anything away from them, but, like, come on now. Trevor Lawrence looked like crap last night. He looks terrible. And then he gets away with a win in that one. He made two big throws. I will give him credit on that final drive. But, man, he looks bad. And they sit here, and we looked at it, and we're like, all right, the Chiefs got to stop the run. They did a pretty good job stopping Etienne. Lawrence ran around a little bit. And I will say, like, if Lawrence runs more often, he'll be a better quarterback. But the Chiefs did everything they wanted to do last night.
I don't even know. Is this the first? No, it's not the first time. Never mind. That was, but watch it. Every time I watch Trevor Lawrence play, because I never watch the Jaguars, every time they play the Chiefs, I just get reminded. I'm like, this dude's a ginormous human. Like, he's like 6'5", 6'6". He needs to run. I know.
Like, if he runs more, he'll be a better quarterback. And we saw that last night. Like, he made that decision, and it did turn the game around. I was texting with some buddies. We were just like, God, how is he so bad? And I was like, he's got to run. And you know, they saw the same thing. And then that really did open it up for the Jacksonville offense. But eventually teams will, you know, key in on that and make him beat them through the air. But the Jaguars did not beat the Chiefs last night. The Chiefs beat the Chiefs last night. And that is not like a knock on Jacksonville. It is a knock on the Chiefs. That was ridiculous. They had no business losing that game. And they don't have the wiggle room to play that kind of game. The lack of discipline why is Andy Reid all of a sudden afraid to go for it on fourth downs? Like what? Like, I don't know what that was. Like that was a, just a total disaster up and down the board. It really was a bizarre game. And maybe we're all a little cranky because we know they should have won it. But now they play the Lions. That certainly doesn't make it better.
I think that's the first thing they think about is, I mean, yesterday that conversation we had with Josh is completely correct. It's just like they can't go 0-2 in a week span. Like,
I mean, they can. They can. That's the underreaction part of all of this. This is where I could really make Tommy angry. Tommy, if you're listening on the way in. Because I would tell you it'll be fine, and he would get really mad at that. But the reality is it'll be fine. The Chargers are ravaged by injury, and I just am not a believer that the Broncos are going to go out and win 14 games this year, 13, 12 games this year. So the division, even with a loss to the Lions, even at 2-4, their Chiefs are going to be in the mix for the division because they play Denver twice. And they're like, we're seeing some things if we're comparing this year's team to last year's that are okay, but good Lord, they cannot make that many mistakes in a game. We'll get to that digested a little bit, a little over and under reaction to the Chiefs' loss to the Jags. When we come back, though, we're going to switch gears. Wyatt Thompson joins us for a weekly visit. Kind of reminded me, I'm with you, TJ, that K-State game on Saturday. We'll have that next.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are joined by Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. That wasn't very kind of the Chiefs, Wyatt, to do their best K-State impression last night. Boy, you watch that and you're like, well, this is exactly what we saw on Saturday. Blowing the big lead, a pick six. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I actually was the
deja vu.
I was the MC last night for the KAB Awards dinner here in Manhattan at Hilton Garden Inn. And it was so interesting to kind of look out from time to time. Everybody's checking their phone or watching the game on their phone. And but you're right. It somewhat mirrored it. As a matter of fact, when Karen and I got in the car to come home, Kansas City was up 14-0. And I'm going, yes, finally something good's going to happen. Well, then I guess I brought everybody bad luck. And you saw how the game ended, too. That was one of the weirdest game-winning touchdown plays I've seen in my lifetime, I think. That was crazy.
Well, let's get into Saturday. You know, obviously, as you said, K-State had the big lead. Baylor kind of mounted it up in that last, 15 minutes of the game, basically. Just kind of what went wrong from your perspective up in the box?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, the it felt good to have that kind of lead, but I think they could have had even a bigger lead, and maybe at the end of the day, that catches up with you. I think a lot of people are going to look at, the pick six, and I get that. A lot of people have talked about, having it first and goal at the three and having to settle for a field goal late in the game. So I think this is just kind of part of what we have seen from this team. I think we've seen some good. We've seen some not so good. We've seen, to be honest, pretty inconsistent play in a lot of ways. You guys know me, I always try to look at the positives. Had you said to me going in, they're going to get 500 yards plus and score 34 points, I would have taken my chances with that, TJ, every time. And who wouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you find a way to not win the game, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, it is frustrating because we're still trying to get a sense of what K-State could still do in this year. And when they don't have any wiggle room to lose games, especially that they shouldn't lose. Especially, Dylan Edwards was limited very clearly in that game, and they still were going to have enough to go on the road and beat Baylor. And it's not even a could have, it's a should have. And I definitely think that makes it worse.
But at the same time,
they should have. So if they can take that out of it, they're going to win a bunch of games down the stretch, probably. I guess I just don't know how you just continue to put aside the disappointment of these small things to continue to focus on the big thing.
Yeah, and you guys know this, as we've gone from Monday to Tuesday, Coach Klieman meets with the media on Monday, and I'll be honest with you, fellas, I'm sure some that will hear this will not agree, but I thought Coach Klieman did a really good job of yesterday saying, this is all on me. I'm the guy. I've got to get the ship righted here, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. But I think he truly feels that way. You know, it'd be easy to blame all the mistakes or blame this or that, or we're all beat up, which we are. Team has no luck, whatever it might be. But again, I've been around K-State football for 24 years, and they pride themselves on good quality, tough physical play and good special teams and, you know, be in the right spots defensively and tackle. And sometimes it's been there, but sometimes it hasn't. And I think that's what makes everybody want to scream or pull their hair out or whatever you want to say, because it's just been – I think Saturday's a perfect example. I think you can argue that the offensive line maybe played its best overall game. I think you can argue that Avery Johnson played maybe his best overall game. I think you can argue that Joe Jackson definitely played his best game. We've seen some guys continue to grow, and yet, you know, you make a mistake with the pick six, and Avery didn't make many, but he certainly made one there, and it really turned the game back in their favor. Because if I'm being totally honest, being there in person, I always say this, it is different than watching it on television. And at 31-17, their fans were disinterested. They were hot. They were getting up under the concourse. They were if K-State had kicked another field goal or scored again, they were out. I'm just telling you, they were. But when they got the big score, 80-ish yards in three plays, and those two spectacular plays by Trigg, then you got game on. They started coming back, and next thing you know, game on.
Yeah, Michael Trigg's a stud. Speaking of Kleiman talking about yesterday, you know, you brought up Dylan Edwards. You know, we've talked about how big of a deal he is for this offense. And, you know, Kleiman kind of made comments yesterday about, like, yeah, he just wasn't completely, you know, a little banged up still, you know. And so is it still the same thing from week zero? You know, it feels like it's kind of ebb and flow right now. You know, what do you know about, you know, Dylan's situation?
Yeah, I think you go back to the week before, he was pretty healthy. And I guess I'm not smart enough to understand why in that particular game he was really good and had 166 yards and what have you. And then, you know, I don't know whether he maybe got dinged in practice or whatever, but you could tell from the get-go that he wasn't exactly right. And, you know, I guess the short answer is yes, it's that lingering issue with his foot. High ankle sprain, I guess, is what they're calling it. And those, as you know, are pretty slow healing, at least most of the time. And I think that's what you're dealing with here. And I think there's a lot of frustration with this team, but that particular subject is at the top of the list. But so is the fact that most of their playmaking guys have not played a single game together this year. And that frustrates them too. And I get it.
So Avery is running more, Wyatt, and I think it's probably by design. It has unlocked him a lot. He looks a whole lot better outside of the one, you know, the one mistake there late in the game. How are you sensing the psyche of he and that offense are feeling right now as they have this massive hole as a Big 12 championship seems unlikely? I know a lot of people worry about, well, what's going to happen with Avery if this season doesn't go well? He's going to be this hot commodity. Is he loving life still in Manhattan?
You know, I'm not even going to hesitate in answering that. I think the answer is yes. That isn't to say that there will not be interest from many, many, many programs. Probably we'll have to fight that a little bit. I guess I don't know that for a certainty, but I'm just being as honest as I can be, being around him as much as I am. And it isn't daily, but it's a lot. I really think he is enjoying his experience. I think he knows he's getting better. It is frustrating with this team being 2-4 when you could easily argue they should be at least 4-2, if not 5-1. But you're not, and how do you get it turned? And I think he, like Kleiman, is into, okay, let's do what we have to do to get things turned around here. But they also know what lies ahead, and it's not easy. You got a 4-1 TCU team coming in here, and then a bye week, and then you've got Kansas there. You've got Texas Tech at home. I mean, you can't shy away from the fact that that's a pretty rugged stretch. you know. We still have to go to Utah to play. It's just kind of what it is. But you got to keep grinding. And I think if they can get a little bit more healthy and a little more consistent, at least it gives them a shot of you know, to play for something late in the year. Some are going to be disappointed if that's a, you know, a lower tier bowl. But you got to, you know, they're probably not in the picture now in terms of the league championship. That's pretty obvious. So you got to try to get to the next best thing. At least that's the way I see it. And I think it's a good group of guys. I think they are frustrated and mad and whatever you want to say. But I don't think their dobber is so down that they can't come back and fight. I think you will see them put up a good fight. They have been the better team against TCU recently. Last time they were here in Manhattan, K-State won 41-3. K-State rushed for over 300 yards in that game. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that that's going to be the way it plays out Saturday. But I do think K-State has a good chance to win the game if they play.
That'd be a good idea. Let's call Will Howard and DJ Giddens to come back and play on Saturday too and roll absolutely those guys out there. So yeah. Staying on that track, you know, TCU, they've obviously got Josh Hoover, who's, you know, one of the more experienced quarterbacks in the conference now. The 2:30 kickoff on national television, it'll be a big spot. And, you know, at halftime last week, it was like, man, they're going to beat Baylor and they're going to have a chance to knock off TCU. So, like, what's the vibes going into this week now that, you know, you lost that Baylor game?
Well, I think, again, everybody is excited to have Fox here and to play a 2:30 game. We've, you know, last year we played so many night games.
Don't get me started.
And this is homecoming week here, as you guys probably are aware. And I think, you know, the 2:30 window is probably the best for most tailgaters, wouldn't you say?
It's the best.
And,
I think so.
So I'm hopeful that we have a terrific crowd, and I believe that we will. I think it's a pretty good matchup, and you mentioned Hoover. He's been really good. I mean, you go back to some of his numbers a year ago. He threw for almost 4,000 yards, TJ, and 27 touchdowns, 11 picks. And how about this? 24 career games, he's thrown 57 touchdowns. He had four last week. So he has some weapons around him. They're not dominant necessarily in any way, but they – The loss was a game where they led 17-0 at Arizona State. So it tells you they're dangerous when they're playing at their optimum level.
It's no surprise, as we talk about Hoover, that they're one of the best pass offenses in the country. Top 15, yeah. I believe. They don't defend the pass very well, though, Wyatt, I assume.
And they haven't run it well.
Yeah, we're kind of in a shootout city mode again here probably for this one. I don't know if it'll be quite to the level of Baylor, but TCU's probably not getting enough credit either. They've got good wins this year. Like their losses to Arizona State, like what they've done and what they've put together is impressive. I'm not sure how much better or worse TCU is than Baylor, but this is going to be tough.
Yeah, I think they're different, but there are similarities. Both are more prevalent pass teams than run teams. And yet they do have capabilities. This is a team that's been using as many as five running backs, partly because of injury. I think they're best when the Barnes kid, a transfer, is the lead guy. But they have others. One thing in this league that you see a lot of is good quality receiving tight ends. They have two of those guys. Their receiving core is pretty good. They did have an injury with their left tackle last week. It's a little bit up in the air as to whether, you know, he will be available to go this weekend. So the other thing I would mention is that they have a decent secondary, two pretty quality linebackers, and one of those linebackers is Chidi Obiezor's older brother, Namdi, and you'll want to watch him. He is a very, very fine football player, played at Northern Iowa. And then at TCU, and he's really active, really good player. With him and Elarm Zor, that their linebacking has been good.
Yeah, why the you know the weird part about this, going back to the Chiefs analogy here, the Chiefs basically did everything we said. They did everything except win the game. K-State played their best game, kind of by far on offense, and they found a way to lose that game. You know, What do you do differently? Do you do anything differently going into this game? I feel like if you replay the Baylor game, you probably win that game 9 times out of 10 from the second half on.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, as you try to get healthier, get better, be more consistent, I think what my biggest thing is let's go back to the offensive line as an example. This is getting a little bit of run in the media now with Devin Bass and what he's done. He started for the first time last week playing right guard. The week before, he played right and left guard. He has helped this football team. He's a big guy. He's bided his time. Coach talked in the presser yesterday about, he could have, like a lot of them, been mad after not seeing the field for a couple of years and just gotten out of here, but he didn't do that. And in talking to him yesterday, he's really excited, playing well. And I think Sam's probably the best, most consistent lineman K-State's got. You could argue Pastore probably too. But I'm excited that Taylor Portier is playing a little bit better now too. He had a little time frame there where he wasn't playing as well, and some of that was health. My point is you saw K-State run the ball decently well, and then you saw with Avery with the threat to run, and he is doing that more. That they're passing it better. So I think offensively, even though they're not where they want to be, Bradley's getting closer to being back. You hope maybe Dylan could be better this week. Then all of a sudden, you're just a different-looking team. But that's a lot of ifs. Some of that has to happen, right? Some of it has to happen.
It has to happen. They have to win. Wyatt, it's the 2:30 kick. You guys will have it on the K-State Network. Anything special on the broadcast this week?
Yeah, kind of looking forward to this because of the homecoming angle. But one of the guys that I'm going to talk to is Uso Sayamalo for pregame. And we've had Uso on before, but I think he's such a unique story. He's a Hawaiian kid, Samoan kid that played high school football there. Mom didn't want him to play, didn't want him to get hurt. He did more work on there. You ready for this? Cocoa Farm?
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
That's a crazy story. Great kid, though. And now his mom is okay with him playing. Matter of fact, she's been here a couple of times. I saw her on the road once. He's a really cool story. And that's in part what I love about the job, getting to know those kids a little bit better. So we'll feature that, and we'll have the coordinators on. And I'm excited to see. It's always good to be back home. And K-State played well when they were here, 2 weeks ago. Let's hope they can continue with that. They need something good to happen and quickly, frankly.
They do. And you'll hear it right here on the Wildcat Sports Network, KFH, home of Wildcat Athletics.
Yeah.
Wyatt, we appreciate it. I'm ready to see a little more offense. I think we're going to get it on Saturday.
No question about it. Hey, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. It'll be a good one, TJ. I'm not sure how much I'm not sure how much better I think Baylor is than TCU, to be quite honest with you. Now, the game's in Manhattan, so that will help. But if you like offense, I think you're going to get it.
Oh, I know. I mean, we were talking about TCU whenever we talked with Wyatt a couple of weeks ago, that they're kind of floating towards the top. They're going to be a team that could be in this thing down the stretch of this Big 12 race, and they are good. Josh Hoover's really good. You think about what they were on national television in week one, beating the brakes off of Bill Belichick, which doesn't mean much anymore. But still, that shows you how good that they can be. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome game. And like Wyatt said, I'm with him, is that, you take that Baylor game. If you play the same way that you played in the Baylor game on offense, you should win most of these games down the stretch of your schedule.
Right. Well, let's pour one out for our betting brethren, TJ. That was a very, very bad beat last night. That should have been one of the more easy covers we've had all year. We had the game pegged exactly right. Jacksonville's going to struggle to stop the Chiefs' passing game. They did. The Chiefs moved the ball at will and snatched victory from the jaws, snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, it's one of the more bizarre outcomes I can remember in a league that is made a living on being bizarre. Curtis Siebold put this out, radio personality in Kansas City last night. Before that game, TJ, teams that averaged 7.5 yards a play and outgained their opponents by 150 yards had won 33 straight games, 67 of the last 69 games in the NFL. It was, I mean, it is hard to fathom how easily the Chiefs should have won that game. I mean, they had to lay it all out there to come up with that loss. And they came up with that loss. You can't, what do you even point to? You can point to the pick six. You can point to the penalties. You can point to the lack of aggression on fourth down. You can point to the lack of effort on defense on that final drive. You can point, there's just a billion things. And still, they should have won. I can't stop thinking about how bad Harrison Butker's been this year and how horrible that kickoff was. And his missed kicks, he's playing terrible right now. How do you kick the ball out of bounds when you know they have time against them on the other side and they have to have a touchdown? And then on the other side, how do you have a hold? How do you have a hold on a kick return when time is against you and you have to get into field goal range? It was comical. And I've seen people say it, I don't even know how you get mad at that. It was such a bizarre and funny loss, and it kind of was. It's just crazy.
I feel like I'm losing my mind because we talked about the K-State loss. They found a way, 9 times out of 10, they should win that game. KU-Cincinnati, 9 times out of 10, they should have won that game. Chiefs-Jaguars, 9 times out of 10, the Chiefs should have won that game. And it's what do you want to say?
10 times out of 10, the Chiefs should win that game.
9.9. You can round, do whatever you want. It's the definition of insanity. I feel like when we sit here and talk on this show, where it's you can point at the pick six. Well, but then, still they took a lead and then the defense let them stroll right down the field and 15 different things that oh, there's another one.
It is bizarre, the similarities. I will say, though, of those three outcomes that you're referencing, this Chiefs loss was by far the worst of the three. By far the worst of the three. Cincinnati did a lot in their win against KU to go get it. Baylor did a lot in their win against K-State to go get it. Jacksonville didn't do all that much other than the pick six to go get it. The Chiefs let him have it. It was
the thing. I'll revisit my analogy here. I do feel like the Cincinnati KU one, it was KU basically messed up one time on that final drive and they lost that game. It's K-State, Baylor just kind of strolled down the field and did whatever they wanted, but Baylor was favored to win that game anyways. They just needed to just end the game a little sooner. This game, it was. There was probably 15 different things that we can point to say they shouldn't have done that. Well, they shouldn't have done that either. They shouldn't have done that either. And that I do agree. This is probably the worst one of those three. So
it's especially frustrating because we are seeing the Chiefs and the Ravens right now, TJ, are combined 2-8. Or no, sorry, 3-7. They're combined 3-7 while the Colts and Jaguars are 8-2. Right now in the NFL, it's so strange because we don't know when Lamar come back, right? If Lamar Jackson's back in the next couple of weeks, I feel like the Ravens are going to make the playoffs. They have one of the worst defenses I've ever seen. The Chiefs are fine, and this is what's so exceptional about that loss last night is. They should have had it. We spent the entire day yesterday here and on TV. AFC West title is right there. They would be the favorite now. And then they do that. And you're where does that lack of the Chris Jones play at the end? How is that even
possible? That's so weird. I've watched that 10 times.
Play was dead. And I haven't seen if he's talked about it. He must have thought when Lawrence fell down, he had to have thought the play was over. It's the only thing I could think of. And if you haven't seen the video, just search Chris Jones and watch him stand around. And Bolton kind of did the same. They must have thought the play was dead. They had to have. And I'm not going to give him a hall pass for that. But I will also say, Like if you thought the play was over and you go belly flop the quarterback, you're going to get a penalty called. So the only answer I will accept, even if it's wrong, even if he was wrong, is that he thought the play was dead. At least that would make you think, okay, well, it was wrong. It was a mistake, but it, you know, at least you like, at least it wasn't just like a lack of effort for some reason, which would make absolutely no sense. The passing game, man, like and we'll get to the optimistic side of this in the next hour, but I think there are a lot of things that we're seeing in the last 2 weeks that to me make things seem a whole lot better than they were 3 weeks ago, right? Like when we were coming out of the, which game was it? When we were coming out of the Eagles game, and even to some degree, the Giants win. It was like, oh man, like they just don't look good offensively. Well, now in the last 2 weeks, they've looked fantastic offensively. And so that's a good thing, right? Like we like that. But boy, the defense did not look good yesterday. And the defense looked closer. If there's an overall, like if there's a bigger takeaway for me from this game than anything, it's that the last, you know, six-ish quarters of football before Lamar Jackson got hurt and then that entire game against Jacksonville, the defense looks a little susceptible right now. And I don't know that we're seeing enough out of the young players on that defense, the rookies, to think like that's going to get a whole lot better. I'm not sure. And I only say that because that's kind of what I was afraid of all year, right? Like we were a little afraid the defense wasn't going to be as good. And my hope was that the offense is so much better that you get, you know, it outweighs that. And it was last night. That was exactly what happened. They made the mistakes, obviously, and didn't get the win. But I am concerned that this is going to be a middle of the pack at best defense before this year's over. I just don't know that they're not going to be as good as they were the last couple of years. And that could be a problem.
It's weird because, like, the defense really hadn't been that bad until, like, I mean, really this week, like, even in the first two losses of the year, they didn't play that bad. I think that there was a lot of questions in the preseason that we talked about of, you know, the secondary of, you know, you lose a Justin Reed. It's going to be depleted in your depth because of, you know, Deion Bush getting hurt in the preseason as well. And what's the new guy? Joshua Williams going to have to step up and start for the first time basically ever. You think about Noel Williams, the rookie, stepping up. And they've been good. Like, I mean, this, by the stats of it, their secondary was really good. And then last night, I mean, they got, like, just kind of torn to shreds in the second half by Trevor Lawrence. So I don't know if that's just the lack of experience catching up, but it doesn't make any sense of why. Why now? Why not whenever you played Lamar Jackson? Why not whenever you played Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts? Like, it's just weird. I don't really understand what happened last night.
Well, I just don't know that they're – I think teams are going to figure out how to attack them. And they'll continue to do it. Like, Trevor Lawrence, who do they play? Jared Goff's not going to run around on them, so that'll be a little bit different of a challenge to stop them. But at the same time, the Lions are – probably the best offense in football. So they don't, you're going to have to just stop what it is that they do. There's not going to be any need to be cute for the Lions. Like they'll just attack you the way that they attack you and get ready. You know, you got to get ready to try and stop that and shoot them out. The good news for the Chiefs is that game's at home. The over under on that's only 50.5. That's an over.
Somebody's going to score 30 in that game.
Well, right. And they both might score 30. I don't know. Like Jacksonville, even if you take the 7 away from Jacksonville last night, right, from the pick 6, Trevor Lawrence should, like, he fumbled as close to the goal line as you can fumble. Like that. So you can't say the offense, well, you got to take 7 away because 7 of it came on a pick 6. They should have had 7 more on that play. Like, true. Jacksonville did everything that they could to give the Chiefs that game. Did Trevor Lawrence have 3 delay of game penalties? Was it 3 or just 2?
I think so. I don't know.
It was 3. They had those issues. They fumbled on the goal line. That was
through a pick, through another pick they got called back.
That was nonsensical last night. I mean, that was one of the stranger games. The Chiefs are 2 touchdowns better than Jacksonville. I mean, I believe that. 100%. So again, while it's insanely frustrating, again, while I'm devastated for all the bettors out there, is it that big a deal? That's what we'll spend the next hour talking about. I don't think it is. I think it's nauseating because it shouldn't have happened. But I also think as we watch it, and maybe people don't agree with this, there's a lot there where I'm like, this team's going to be fine and they're going to be where they want to be when the playoffs start. And then you just see where the chips fall. Speaking of betting, I sent you this, TJ, last night. Thanks to Travis Kelce. I had a first touchdown bet on Kelce. And it's the ESPN app does a on Monday Night Football. They'll return half of your first touchdown bet if you lose, if you don't hit it. And so I basically maxed bet, which I never do, a Travis Kelce first touchdown. And you want to talk about an emotional roller coaster? He gets that. And then I see that flag and I'm like, oh, no way. And then it goes through. That was a ride. That was a journey. That was a betting experience right there. To think you hit that on a unit play you never play, only to see that flag and in the Chiefs pleading with the officials.
1 yard.
You get one step, you get 1 yard. And I'm like, don't do this to me. Don't do it. Could you, like, if that would have happened and, because I would have hit, I would have made so much money last night. At the Chiefs. I hit every other part of everything I put together except for the Chiefs cover. And I know that everybody out there, like, what sucks if you enjoy betting as much as we do is, like, I had that pegged perfectly. The Chiefs should have crushed them. Like, that line was incorrect. The Chiefs are way better than the Jaguars. It was all the right matchups. They should have covered. All right, so why it's not that big a deal. I don't even know if TJ agrees with me on that, but why it's not that big a deal. I'll make my case in the next hour. You can chime in, Chiefs fans, if you're just waking up, you're angry, we're your place to sound off this morning. 869-1240, you can leave us your comments on the video streams. It's All Brock in Cleveland. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker.
Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.